This is the Cardboard Cave Podcast. You are fools, go!
Yes, I did. I hate the fact that I keep on forgetting that my mute is posted. I don't know, you know. The thing is, welcome to a new episode of the Cardboard Cave Podcast. We have all of the cast here and hosts of this show. Hope you guys enjoy the new intro that we created for you guys. We hope that that intro keeps growing in the fact of this 2023. If we get more excited for new things for you guys as well, guys. Tonight we're going to be playing Commander. Little the fact that Chris is here, that means that we're going to be talking about a couple of topics that he will be talking about to us tonight. One more thing, just to guys let you know, remember, we are available in all of our audio platforms, and follow us in all of our social media, and as well our merch store will go live this Friday at noon. So pay attention to our social media, like that you guys can go ahead and be the first to click that link on Bonfire and make your order for our merchandise. So there's no further ado, let's go ahead and present everybody on the board. Let's go ahead and add our favorite director, Orengo. And, you know, he always wins these amazing awards. And he actually was covering Sundance. So let's say hi to our favorite director.
Hey, what's up? Hi. How y'all doing?
I'm good. I keep messing up. My head is like thinking 10,000 things at the same time. I'm like, I already said this. The intro said this already. Why am I repeating myself again?
I love the AI video intro. I love it. I love the new technology that we have at our disposal. That was a real voice, by the way. It was not a AI voice. It was real. We hired an actress that sounded like a robot.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's go ahead and as well present our Master of the Dark Arts, aka the Master of the Cube as well, the one and only JP.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, JP? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, actually.
That's good. That's good to know. And then we're going to go ahead and present our Jank Master of the Night. He's the one that's supposed to present the topics tonight, at least for the first 30 minutes of the show. So let's bring in the one and only, the Jank Master himself, Chris.
Hey, everybody, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect, because I was struggling with my mic here for a second. I honestly forgot that I was supposed to be presenting some topics tonight. I was recommending them so that everyone would know about them, but I totally forgot. So you're going to have to refresh my memory, because I'm pretty sure I'll be able to talk about them regardless.
You mentioned the OGL.
Yes, I did mention the OGL, and I'm going to use that excellent segue from JP. Thank you very much. For now, it appears as though we won. Wizards of the Coast is going to publish basically everything from 5e with a Creative Commons license. And, you know, just that's pretty much like the big important part of it, right? The fact that people are just going to be able to use 5e content to keep doing what they're doing so far, right?
For our listeners, if you do not know what we were talking about, we have been talking about this a few weeks ago, because ever since it got published, and or technically it didn't even get published, it got leaked, that the open gaming license for Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition specifically, it was being changed. It was very, very bad changes, and we covered this in a previous podcast, and like Chris said, they backtracked.
Yeah, now I do want to like just put this on the table real quick, and it's that this doesn't absolve Wizards of as well like of what they did. I would like for the community in general to just, you know, remember what they did, because just because they've put this aside now doesn't mean that they might not try to retake it somehow later, because it really like, the OGL document itself really doesn't help with what Wizards is trying to accomplish now that they're trying to monetize both MTG and, in this case especially, Dungeons & Dragons more than they've ever done before. And it's really, really conflicted with their plan and what they're trying to build. You know, they were trying to build a very dangerous thing. One of them is essentially eliminating all competition for their virtual tabletop platform. And in general, everything they were doing is very scary. We talked about it in our previous podcast, so please go ahead and visit us there so you can get a bit more in detail of what was going on at the time. But what you guys have to know now is that for now, it seems we've won, and that to just keep vigilant, because I don't think this is the last time the world will hear Wizards trying something on the OGL or trying something to make sure that they, you know, are able to monetize D&D further.
We it was like the people aimed at their wallets and it worked. So.
Yeah, and definitely. just for like further clarification, I don't have an issue with, you know, D&D being monetized. I mean, if it keeps making money, that means we keep getting like content from Wizards, and that's fine. My problem is that they were trying to monetize it in a way, and like the community's problem is that they were trying to monetize it in a way which it would steal people's content.
Yep, that's true.
Anything really you guys got to say about it?
I just say that the OGL was a big problem. I remember that Chris posted it in our chat a couple of videos, but we do have like a group of like D&D from one of the local game stores that at least I used to play D&D with a lot of people, and just knowing the fact that this could have affected D&D, and like I mentioned in one of our podcasts, right now Wizards of the Coast can do the same thing to Magic the Gathering content creators if they want to, because right now there's so many commander shows popping out recently I don't remember her name, but the content creator that does Elder Dragon Hijinks made their own channel called Commander at Home, and they already had 10,000 subscribers, and the show only has one episode. So just imagine how powerful Commander is and how many different shows there is out there that Wizard of the Coast one day can say, yeah, let's go ahead and do one of these things to the content creators of Magic the Gathering as well. You know, it could happen to us. But I love the fact that we got the win. Talking about the virtual tabletop, it is true that there are other virtual tabletops out there that are like in development. I just saw one, I think it was 2 days ago, that they're trying to build a type of like Elder Scrolls virtual tabletop that you can use it online and offline with your friends, and it looks really interesting, and it's for D&D, so I don't know. I just hope that we keep winning. That's the point. The committee goes first.
I agree. Yeah.
All right, Oringo, JP, anybody else you guys want to input on that one?
Yeah, I'm glad that we got that win. I'm glad that it's a small win. But like you said, we can't let them slide just because they did an easy out and just backtrack, because this was going to come out. If it wasn't leaked, I'm pretty sure they would have implemented this and they wouldn't have backtracked. So it's the fact that the PR was so horrible, on top of the bad PR they already have, that they know that this will do more damage to their whole monetizing D&D plan that they have going forward, that they rather just take the quote-unquote easy win and just not do this. But like you said, we can't forgive being companies because big companies are never our friends.
Correct.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so there was another thing I wanted to bring up that came up from an article from NTG Rocks. And it was the change that was being done to competitive Magic. Long story short, what the change is that The RCQ seasons will have a single seasonal format, not including like limited, because limited is going to have like its own stuff going on. But you're only going to be playing one format at a time, essentially. So what does this mean? It means that we are being limited by Wizards of the Coast on what they want to see us playing each season. So if they say, hey, this season we are playing standard, the competitive scene is just going to be composed of standard. And if you want to qualify for anything, you just play standard. If they just said, hey, let's make it modern, we just play modern, and so on, like Pioneer, whatever format. But we would only be playing one format at a time. Now, one of the, I don't want to say excuses, one of the reasons why Wizards of the Coast, like the reasoning behind this is to say, oh, you know, it used to be difficult for people to be able to keep up with various formats. So let's make it easier by only having one format each season. So that, you know, the players can just like catch up.
Yeah.
And but what I think about that is that I don't think it was that hard to keep up with multiple formats until Wizards of the Coast made the just started printing out so much product since 2020. Mm-hmm. Because the sheer amount of product that's coming up now is really hard to keep up with if you're playing multiple formats. If you're just playing standard, like, you know, you're just getting your set every 3 months, which is all right to keep up with. If you're playing Commander, you're just kind of looking at every single, like, you know, thing that kind of looks like a staple that comes out in a set, and that's what you're really getting at. But if you're playing multiple formats, you have to be like constantly on your toes, because we're getting a bunch of master sets, we're getting a bunch of reprints in every set that affect different formats. And even though I agree that it might be easier on some people to just keep up with one format at a time, it takes away ways for people to play Magic and qualify for events. And I think that it's a choice that's in a weird gray area, but that I would still consider negative, personally, because it does remove that variety, and it might turn some people off of just playing Magic for an entire season. You know, like it looks more like a possible loss in general than it looks like a thing that it has more, like, it just seems like it has more cons than pros, I guess. I don't know. What do you guys think?
This is what I think.
Yeah, they're just killing modern.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, we created this gigantic problem. How do we fix it? We're gonna chew ourselves in the face and then ask, what just happened? Why is no one playing anything else? We don't understand. That's what I think. Because that's
basically why is nobody playing Commander?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Why is everybody just playing Commander? I don't know.
I have a differing opinion, but I also agree at the same time.
Okay.
As a player who mainly plays Limited and Commander, because I do love drafting and I do love pre-release, and I do actually, you know, try to at least look for drafts, this is good for new players.
Okay.
This is actually very good for new players. The fact that you could just like, oh wait, a season from now is standard season. I can get the start. I have time to look for what I want to play for standard, anticipate and play standard during the standard season, because standard is so volatile, because of the rotation aspect of it. Mm. Meanwhile, the new player could go like, okay, I make a modern deck, and I can now play in the modern season, make a Pioneer deck, like play in the Pioneer season, and just look forward to building a standard deck through with time. Because a lot of the time that I've been like, wow, standard looks really fun, I actually kind of want to try playing standard again. And I look at the cards, it's like, oh, right now I don't have the budget for it, or like the specific deck I'm trying to play is I need a bit to look for the cards or order the cards, and then all of a sudden rotation happens and my deck just doesn't exist anymore.
And I've personally been in that position more times than once. It's like enough times where I actually remember that circumstance. So I think that's a good idea for bringing it in. Otherwise, I understand where you guys are coming from, where people, I only play Modern. Guess you can't play anymore.
Yeah.
I only play Pioneer. Guess you can't play anymore.
And it's not like Wizards doesn't have the resources to literally do whatever the hell they wanted. Like, this is ridiculous to me. Why limit... The reason why Magic is the longest running TCG and it has such a big passionate player base is because of the diversity this game provides. You can play a lot of homebrew formats, you can make a lot of homebrew formats that eventually turn into real formats, and you can play the actual competitive formats. And there's something for everyone, and they used to cater for everyone, but for some reason now they want to limit it. And I understand the sentiment of like bringing new players, because then players don't have, like, if players want to be in the competitive scene, they don't have to like risk building a Modern deck, because you know it's going to be so hard to build it because a lot of people are doing it, which could cause prices to crash, because if we're going a whole year without Modern, people are going to not like care about their Modern decks. You're probably going to sell them, which is going to drive costs down. But at the moment, there's going to be the Modern season, all those prices are going to be ridiculously prohibitive again, or even worse than it was before. So, and there's no reason to not do this, because they can just have like the tour is going to be about Standard, and then there's going to be a side for Modern and another side for whatever. I don't understand why can't they just cater to all of them and just do different types of tours for like Modern, Pioneer, whatever. I mean, I understand. I get it. It's cool for new players that want to get into this. They don't have to like waste a bunch of money. But the problem is that then if they don't do what you're suggesting, JP, which is prepping to do like a Pioneer deck or like a Modern deck, because they're so concerned of like, okay, it's limited this season. So cool, I don't have to build a deck. I just need to like pay my price up front, play with my cards, whatever. Then it's like next format, they'll announce it. It doesn't matter, because at the moment they announce what is going to be the new tour, everyone's going to jump in on the cards, and then they're going to jump up in price again.
What if the formats were announced beforehand?
But then,
what do you mean? They're going to have to announce them beforehand, otherwise it's going to be a huge fuck up.
For the next 3 years? Will be limited. Season 2 will be Modern. Season 3 will be Pioneer. Season 4, and you keep on that rotation.
That's the correct way to do it.
On a
steady rotation. So yeah. When you start in limited, now you can prepare for your Modern and your Pioneer and looking into Pioneer while you go through it.
I think that's acceptable. That could be a nice compromise if they do it like that. But if they do it like where, you know, we're like halfway through the tour and it's limited, and then 3 months are before the tour ends, and then they say like, yeah, Oh no, it's not gonna be Modern. So like, what the fuck? And then you wanted to get the RAM again, it was $30 because no one was playing with it, and then out of nowhere it jumps to 100. It's like, well, yeah, I got screwed. So if they do it like that, where they tell you like the first four in a row, and that's gonna encompass the first 2 years, 3 years, whatever, then that's fine. I guess it's acceptable because it can help you prepare, and prices
maybe even make it yearly.
Sure.
Like, just,
but they would
just
need to announce it a little bit beforehand.
Just make sure you announce within a very, very, very reasonable amount of time.
I agree. Yeah. If that's the case, then yeah, I guess I can see this working, and it wouldn't be so annoying for a lot of people. Yeah.
I'm glad I played devil's advocate for that.
No, I think it's
because I.
At least there's an issue in hand. This was already being done a long time ago.
Okay.
When I was playing professional here in Puerto Rico, at least a year. I only lasted a year because I was playing Standard. So every Grand Prix or GP, the events that we used to have before.
Pre, John, because I don't think you want to be saying words like that on stream, man.
What do you mean, Grand Prix?
Grand Prix.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So for every GP, every GP was different. So, for instance, The one that I went to when I went to Orlando, that GP was standard focus. Mm-hmm. 2 months later, that it was the one that 2 months later, there was the one that they were planning on going again. It was in Michigan. It was modern. When then they do every GP was different. There was no limited format because there was events already inside the main event that was already limited. So when the world, when worlds come in, worlds would be the main tournament and draft. Normally draft goes first and then goes the main tournament. Mm-hmm. We had somewhat of an event that that was to qualify to Worlds, that it was a tournament that has the same style as Worlds. So you do the main tournament first, depending on your position, on your ranking. That's the table that you would be on. And in that table is where you draft. So from there, from the draft, you would go... if you do qualify, I think it's the top six players are the players that go to Worlds representing their state or their country. They were doing that before, so that's why it's kind of odd saying that they want to do this per season. And I see this more as of, oh, new players equals to arena equals to that arena has seasons very constant. That's why they do the open leagues. I think it's every 4 to 3 months, because the open league gives you the chip on your account to be able to qualify for the qualifier for the main event, that is the one that they have been streaming due to that arena has become like the main platform to become a professional Magic the Gathering player. So the only thing that they have to do is do what they used to do before. Invest on their events. Don't do Magic 30 again, because there was no positive feedback on that event. I know that there is Magic Con that is going to be in Philadelphia. So what they have to do is just bring GPs again, and bring these qualifiers to local game stores. That's what they're still doing. So some local game stores have the power to have an event that can give you the qualifier to be able to travel to the States to the bigger qualifier. And then if you qualify there, you are with the big boys. So you are with I don't think Reed Duke is still playing, but I'm gonna say it, Reed Duke, you're with the in the big boy table, you know. So in regards to the seasons, I just see it as a way to open more doors for arena, and because this was already being done before, when COVID happened is when all the GPs dropped, because when COVID happened, me and Carlos were planning on going to Japan on a GP on Japan, because I think it was standard, or was it modern? No, it was a modern GP, and we were just gonna go there to be on the, not to be in the main event, just go to the other events, but it was a modern GP. And that GP was gonna give you the invitation to participate in Worlds as a singleton person.
The difference here though is that at least before, you could play other formats and still accumulate some points to go to like some of these events. It wouldn't, like, you know, obviously if like the main event was like standard points or whatever, like, yeah, you could still get your Planeswalker points, which would help you qualify for events and help during like decisive matches. If they do this change, what I understood that they're implying so far is that you're not going to get points for playing other formats.
So... yeah, that's going to be the issue. As they closing down Planeswalker points, you don't have rankings for who are the, I'm not going to consider it the best players, because I can play like I used to do. I can play more consistent players, I suppose. Exactly. They can know who are the more consistent players, because back in those times, I was ranked number 4 in Puerto Rico due to my Planeswalker points, because I would be in every store. You know, you would see me in Barista, you would see me in ISD, you would see me in Granuja, you would see me in Titans back in the day. I remember traveling to Caguas countless of times just to go to events, not because I wanted to be number one, just because I needed the points to qualify for Worlds, to have the Invitational for Worlds. So without the point system, that point system was the way to be able to know where you're going to be qualifying. And this point system would give you the chance to, let's say Chris wants to play Pioneer, I want to play Standard, JP wants to play Limited, and Morengo wants to play Modern, or let's say that Popper becomes very, popular and they start doing tournaments of Popper in big scales. So let's say that JP wants to play Popper. These Planeswalker points gives us the opening doors to qualify to these main events on the format that you want. But not having that anymore, we have to, accept whatever Wizard of the Coast gives us, I guess. So it is a problem. I would say it's a problem, and it's, I agree with JP in the point that it gives time to people create their decks, but it's still a problem because you have to wait. Like, if you are a player that only plays Modern, or you are somebody that plays only Pioneer, or you only play Commander or Standard, then yeah, you have to just sit down, wait, relax, and wait until your season comes in.
One thing I do want to mention, though, and this is bouncing off of both Orengo and JP, I think that one of the things that is one of Magic's strengths can also be a huge con, and it's about that format variety. Variety is never bad. However, it's definitely difficult to have to design with so many things in mind. Sometimes when you could just cater everything towards what your current competitive scene is. So for example, if your current competitive scene is Standard, then you just make everything like heavily Standard oriented, and then you reduce the amount of, like in this example, right? You're reducing the amount of, what's that called? Like cards and stuff that you're making for other formats, like
the amount of variance Commander, and Modern.
That as well, yeah. Yeah, like the amount of variance and power level, and just
that's my initial thought when you brought now that you brought that up, because that would make so much sense on like I've talked about this before. I wouldn't mind if they depower a lot of cards for Standard and just make a lot of standard cards not that powerful, but just make them unique.
Mm-hmm.
And a very good example of that is Mutate for Mycoria. It is not the most powerful mechanic, but it is very unique. And by making it unique, if you make some specific cards unique enough to be powerful in a niche, they can find places in other formats, but still be equally strong or better in Standard, where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, Mutate saw like a bit of play when it came out, and then it just kind of fell off.
Well, it was the pandemic too.
In Magic Arena, yeah. It was huge.
Yeah, no,
Magic Arena was part of the main, like the top decks.
It was.
Mm-hmm. So that's just my thoughts.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, are we ready to get our command on, or anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Wizard of the Ghost, get your shit straight.
Definitely. And give us sponsorships, please.
I know. Yes, I know.
Get your shit straight. Well, give us money.
Exactly. That was funny. That was funny. No. Let me go ahead and change my view.
Sure, let's do it.
All right.
Guys, whoever's watching us on Facebook, follow us, because I realized that we are not in the Level Up gaming program thingy. And
that's
That's
going to fizzle in the pit now, you know that, right?
Doesn't matter. I want sweet, sweet pennies. I want pennies from people.
Come on.
Yeah, I want clicks and pennies. I want little stars jumping up the screen. That's what I want.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So how about instead of that, how about everybody that's on Twitch that you are following us and like our content, go ahead and subscribe to our Twitch channel. You get a couple of emojis that are from very old, but we're going to make new emojis in the future. Just go ahead, subscribe to our channel or make your donation. The donation link is on the bottom if you guys want to make any type of donations. Okay, I think I'm missing a person.
Yeah, you guys have your Amazon Prime account. Use it on us. At least for a month. Yeah. And then just forget about it. Forget that you had it. Just keep resubscribing with us.
The fact that I'm in the corner. Go ahead, Chris. Tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on our Twitch. You'll be able to find me on our Twitter. You will be able to find me here in the Cardboard Cave podcast, just like the rest of our wonderful, wonderful hosts. JP, where can people find you?
In my bed, because I am falling asleep. And here in the cardboard.
Understandable. Orengo, where can the people find you, my guy? There's so many places for the people to find you.
You can find me here with you guys playing some sweet, sweet cardboard, delicious cardboard, tasty cardboard that I want to eat on Friday, because on Friday, Phyrexia is releasing and we're going to eat delicious cardboard there. You can also find me sinapodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, everywhere. But John, where can the people find you?
So it's really easy, guys. Like I've always mentioned, you can find me as well in realleanfilms.com. I do movie review content website-wise. Still planning on doing video essays as well. And as well here in the Cardboard Cave podcast, don't forget that tomorrow we will be playing Magic the Gathering Arena here live on Twitch and on YouTube only, because this show is exclusively on those two platforms. I will be playing Arena, see if I can finish that Brawl Goshen Tai deck, like that we can go ahead and play some historic Brawl and make some shrines and go crazy. But we're going to be playing Rank and the FNM event that is already live, that is Artisan. So let's see how it goes. So see you guys tomorrow at 9, that we're going to go live to play some Arena. So we will see you guys in the next one. And here is our intro / as well outro. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the Cardboard Cave Podcast, the number one show in Puerto Rico about trading card games. Thanks for Alter Sleeves for sponsoring our show. Use our affiliate link or code CardboardCave for 5% off your order and spice up your commander. Don't forget to follow us on our social media or listen to us in all major audio platforms. Thanks for being part of our community, and please like, share, and comment below. Plus, enjoy the live show. Remember to follow, like, subscribe to be notified, and as well listen to us on all major audio platforms. Thanks for joining us.